All right, I'm going to have you turn to Proverbs this morning. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Always kind of a struggle after a week of meetings to try to figure out what to do next. Kind of like it's already been said. So, anyway, Proverbs chapter 8. I'm going to read a verse for you here, then we'll be back to it shortly. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 8. Two verses, actually. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Notice they are all plain to him that understandeth. Now, real quickly, look in Proverbs 15. I want you to look there at that plainness and reflect on that a second. Notice verse 19, 15, 19 says there, the way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Again, plain. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we come to you here this morning once again. We've already enjoyed Sunday school. It's a blessing to know something of the riches, of the depth, of the wisdom of God and the Word of God. We're here this morning now for this hour thinking about getting a better grasp of it. And we pray, Father, you might help us in that. There may be somebody here that's not even fully grasps their need to be saved. Pray you'd help them with that. Lord, we look forward to a good day. We pray you might help us not be distracted by the rest of the day in this hour that we have here together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in those two passages, there's a plain promise to a child of God that things would be plain. That is, that the Word of God would be made plain and that the will of God, the way of God, would be made plain. Look, if it's not plain, it's kind of useless, right? Neither the Bible nor the will of God, we talked about the will of God this morning in Sunday school for a while, neither the Bible or the will of God were ever intended to be this obscure, mystic, hard-to-find thing. I will readily grant, as I said this morning in Sunday school, there are things you're probably going to have to pray about for a long time to figure out. I grant you that. You may have to pray, fast for a while on exactly what to do, exactly how to do it, maybe exactly when to do it, and to who to do it with. You may have to pray about those things and fast about those things for a long time. However, as far as the rudiments and the elements of the Word of God and the will of God, it's just not intended to be that hard. It's intended to be plain. Now, I was a football player in high school. And I was nothing, I was not a glorious superstar or anything like that. I was an offensive tackle, which meant that nobody noticed me too much. But I tell you this, if the quarterback called a blast right or sweep left, I had a definitive assignment, and if I missed my guy, everything was going to go south. If everybody on the team did not have a clear understanding of what they were supposed to do when they were supposed to do it, then it doesn't take long to figure out that a football game goes south really, really quick, right? There's 11 other guys on the team that are going to do the best they can to kill your quarterback or kill your halfback. My point in saying all that, folks, is that the fact is that's the way things are in life as well. If there are things that are supposed to be true that you're supposed to understand, if there are things that are supposed to be plain, my coach would make it very plain who I was supposed to block if I missed him. Right? I guarantee you the devil and the Lord have a way of making you know for sure that you mess something up if things aren't plain. So I'd like to talk about that for a while. Now, first of all, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19, I wanted you to see that plainness there. And sometimes things aren't plain because you're slothful. That's true. But my main objective this morning is found in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 9. Proverbs 8, 9. I was reading Proverbs 8 this week, and this struck me a little differently than it had stricken me before. It struck me as very important. It says of the Word of God, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. Verse 8 says, they are all plain to him that understandeth. They are all plain to him that understandeth. The Word of God is supposed to be plain. For it to be plain, there are some things you have to understand. Now, I'll tell you this. I believe today in America, in fact, in American Christianity, we are in an understanding crisis. Okay? As time goes by here, the Bible, God's ways, God's thoughts, God's mind, God's doctrine, God's truth, those things are becoming, in most people's minds, more and more obscure and mystic and mysterious than they've ever been before. I know Christians that know virtually nothing from the Word of God. Now look, you're not going to be in the will of God very deeply if you don't know something about the Bible, right? But we've come to a day now where not only is the Bible not plain, the reason it's not plain is because people simply do not understand some things. Maybe don't want to understand some things. I'd like to talk to you about that. We are besieged by unbelief today. It's nothing to hear folks on Christian radio discuss just how involved God was with creation versus how involved the evolutionary science was in it all and all that sort of thing. It's nothing to hear these days Christians discuss morality, spirituality. They discuss salvation. They discuss the deity of Christ. It's plain listening to them. They don't know. They don't understand some things. And so it is, that being the case, the Bible just gets less and less plain, it seems, as the days go by. We know that in the end, the devil deceiveth the whole world, right? How does he manage that? Well, he blinds the eyes, he blinds the minds, that's true. What does that mean? It means that folks do not understand. The Bible's supposed to be plain. It's supposed to be simple to common men. The will of God's supposed to be plain, simple to common men. But because it is not plain, because men do not understand. If there is a plainness problem, the problem is not the Bible. We need to quit changing the Bible. The problem is not the Bible. If something in the Word of God is not plain to you, what we need to deal with is your understanding problem. Okay? I'll give you a for instance here. Turn with me, if you will, to just a couple places real fast. First of all, remind you of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And remind you where you were before you were saved. We know that lost folks are confused about things. That's true. Ephesians 4, notice verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye, you saved people, henceforth walk not, as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Notice, a darkened understanding. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They have the understanding darkened. It is understood lost folks that are not born again, would have a darkened understanding. I understand that. However, there's this. Look in Isaiah 6 real quick. Because now the Lord is prophesying about His chosen people, Israel. And notice in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, I know you, this will be familiar to you. Isaiah 6, not only are lost people suffering from a lack of understanding, they have their understanding darkened. In Isaiah 6, 9, the Lord prophesies by Isaiah saying, go tell this people, Israel, God's Old Testament people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. Hear my word, hear my precepts, but understand not. Okay? So God's people can have an understanding problem. Furthermore, just one more. Look in Job 28. And now you have one of God's choicest saints asking some hard questions about understanding. the words of God are all plain to him that understandeth. If they're not plain to you, then we need to talk about understanding. Look in Job 28, notice verse 12. Job, in the midst of his trials, he's had everything removed from him. He's sick, he's miserable. And he asks this. He says, "Where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding?" One of God's choicest saints saying, "Where in the world do I go find understanding?" Look at one more place there. Look in verse 20. "Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding?" Once again, the issue of understanding. Okay? The words of God are all plain to him that understandeth. If the Word of God is not plain to you, if the will of God is not plain to you, I grant you that there's probably some things perhaps you need to pray about, think about, that sort of thing. But if those words are not plain, then there may be an understanding problem. We're here to investigate the understanding problem this morning. I was saved when I was 10 years old, as so many of you know. I went off to high school and college, was recruited to be an athlete in college. Went off to college ill-prepared for that. I knew I was saved, was not grounded in the Word of God, was not mature in the least. Took me a couple of years to get around to it, but I was a miserable soul in college. And however, I was a Christian. I knew I was a Christian. I'd gone to the Baptist church my whole life, was born again in the Baptist church. So, when I had moral and spiritual dilemmas that would come up, I very well recall taking my Bible, it wasn't a King James, by the way, taking my Bible and getting some advice on where to read for this particular matter I was wrestling with. I remember going and reading that passage. I remember reading and reading and reading and not understanding. I could not get it. Okay? It was not plain. I was confounded. I was confused. I couldn't get it. Now, on the other hand, most of you could probably testify to a day where you came and you came to grips with some things in your life, and all of a sudden the Word of God took on an entirely different aura, where all of a sudden, ping, the light goes off. And you see, right? I want to talk about that for a little while. I want to talk about they are all plain. Now, they're all plain to him that understandeth. If plainness is a problem, then the problem may be your understanding. If there's something in the Word of God you're wrestling with, the issue may be your understanding and have nothing whatsoever to do with the Word of God. And by the way, understanding goes well beyond intelligence, it goes well beyond study, and it goes well beyond education. First of all, there's this. Look in Job 32. Job 32. Notice Job chapter 32 and verse 8. Job is still wrestling with the issues that he has in his heart. And notice down in verse 8 where it said this, "But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding." Now, the words of God are all plain to him that understandeth. The words of God are plain, okay? If you're not lazy, the Word of God ought to be plain. If it's not plain, then you probably have an understanding problem, right? Now, so what we need to evaluate this morning is the issue with understanding. It says here in this passage, it says, "There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding." I want to talk first of all that your understanding problem may have to do with inspiration. Now, what I'm about to utter here is heresy in some circles, just so you know. All right? I'm not trying to be provocative. I'm not trying to be hard to get along with. I'm not trying to be overly dramatic about this. But I'll tell you this. Plainness, the Word of God being plain to you, requires you to understand. Whence cometh understanding? The inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. Now, I'd be plain about this. I am not trying to say that either you or me get any unique revelation from God in the sense of the Old Testament prophets where God speaks and shows me something He's never shown anybody else ever before. I don't believe that. Okay? I do not believe that. I am not a Pentecostal. I am not a charismatic. I don't think God spoke to you that way. I don't think God's going to speak to me that way. If I get anything from the Word of God, it's going to be from the Word of God. By the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to check me out. Right? So, just to be plain about that, I'm not talking about inspiration in the sense of God giving me new words and new revelation in the Spirit. I'm not saying that at all. I will say this. I do believe that the words of God are all plain to them that understand. And understanding comes when the inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. Right? Now look, that shouldn't be too hard. I mean, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. If you're a natural man, if you've never been born again, if you're lost, if you're dead in trespasses and sins, I got news for you. The reason you don't understand the Bible is because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, right? Now, if you are a Christian and I'm a Christian, I read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, where Paul's praying that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, we might know the hope of His calling. God wants you to understand. I'll tell you how He gets you to understand. He inspires it. There is a supernatural, there is a mystic element in it. Look, I believe inspiration is twofold. First of all, God gave the Bible by inspiration. He spake to men. Men spake those words or wrote those words down. And God inspired the words they spoke or wrote. Right? But that's not the only inspiration in the Bible. In fact, there's one more. Job 32:8. Where the Bible says that the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. And I got news for you. I believe inspiration is still very real today. And I believe when I open and study my Bible and God shows me something, not because I have a vision, but from the Bible, I believe God allows the light to go off and shows it to me. He enlightens my mind. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I went to Bible college, and there were passages of the Scripture that I was taught what they meant. And I pretty much accepted what they meant because I figured the guy was right. But I have to say that I didn't really understand. I have to say that I've come back to some of those places before, studied through them, and all of a sudden the light went off, and sure enough, there, I did understand. There was the very thing I was taught, but just because I was taught it didn't mean I understood it. Right? The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Look, the Spirit of God is very real in you. You need to pray. You need to read the Word of God because the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. It's not just a Bible thing. It's not just where they say God breathed out the Scriptures. It goes beyond that. It's God enlightening your mind to give you understanding in the Holy Spirit by the Word of God. Right? It is that as well. I've been preaching here for 25 years. In fact, we forgot to mention it. But last weekend was our 25th anniversary here, June 3rd. And so 25 years here. I've seen some times, you know, standing up here preaching, I've seen the lights go off on folks' faces at times where it's like, ping, oh, that. And you can see in their eyes, you know, the little eyes light up, the little beady eyes light up. I like that when that happens. That's the coolest thing. It's not that you don't know it necessarily before, but there's a difference between knowing it and understanding it. Knowing it in theory and understanding it. Well, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Look, the words of God are all plain to them that understand. I don't know about you. I don't have a terribly hard time understanding much of the Bible anymore. There are some places in Zechariah and Ezekiel, I have to admit. Okay? But as far as the main points, the main parts, it's not that hard. But I tell you what, the reason they are plain is because they're understood. If they're not plain, there may be a problem with understanding. You should know the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Then there's this. Look in Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. How often have you talked to a Christian, and when it came around to Bible stuff, it was very plain that they were completely in the dark about what the Bible taught, about this, that, or the other, or something that you perhaps were taught and understood pretty well, they could read the same passage of Scripture and it's like ricochets off the head, pew, pew, like that, because they don't get it. Okay? They're plain to you because you understand. They're not plain to them because they don't understand. Why don't they understand? Maybe they're not even saved. All right? Maybe God's not teaching them anything. But then there's this. Look in Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We always quote that. We know that part. And then it says, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Well, the words of God are all plain to them that understand, right? Well, it says there, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I was telling you the other day about my old beat-up wood truck, my 79 beautiful Ford rust bucket. A couple of years back, I went out and I was going to go get some wood or something. Put the key in the ignition. I just started it a couple weeks before. And, man, I put the key in the ignition, turned the key. I mean, nothing. Nothing. Not even a click. So, get out, go get the other vehicle, hook it up to the jumper cables, let it run for 20 minutes. Try it again. Not even a click. I mean, nothing. Nothing, nothing. Pull off the, cables off the posts, clean the posts off, put the cables back on, tighten them down, make sure good connection. Nothing. Nothing. Start digging around there, seeing if there's a rat or something that chewed through wires. Nothing. So finally, I went to my last card. I called Jim Duggan. I said, Jim, I must be missing something. My truck. Man, I've been trying to jump it. I've changed the cables. I've done a little bit of everything. I can't even get it to turn over. I mean, it doesn't even click. Jim says, is it in park? Did you know a 79 Ford pickup truck will not start unless it's in park? And no, it wasn't in park. See, I was thwarted that day because there was something I didn't know. I didn't know. I should have known. I didn't know it wasn't in park. Now look, you live in a day where people are utterly preoccupied with knowing stuff, right? I mean, you've got to go to college. I mean, in this world's mind, you've got to go to college. If that kid doesn't go to college, he's going to be a complete failure. Look at what they're trying to teach the kids in school. First of all, they start trying to teach sex to kids in first, second, third grade, if not earlier, right? They want to make sure they are properly brainwashed into certain social aspects and give them a little bit of a rewritten history. Make sure that they get the right kind of education because it's important for them to know these things. And by the way, you're nothing if you've not been properly diversified, if you don't have the proper range of tolerance, if you've not been trained in diversity, you just don't know anything as you ought to know it. Right? Look at what they've done. They now seek to know. They have made adultery commonplace. Sodomy is now commonplace. It's a major movement in our country. They go for money, self-esteem, science, psychology, philosophy, other world religions. It's perfectly fine for you to depart from the God of the Bible and go study Zen Buddhism or some such, you know, other thing, some New Age religion by some New Age God. Go try a little Krishna here and there. A little Krishna. Krishna never hurt anybody, right? You're supposed to know, you're supposed to know, you're supposed to know. You're supposed to be familiar with all the environmental issues. You're supposed to be green. If you know these things, you should be a success, but they're not successes. They are miserable beyond belief. They now commit suicide at an alarming rate. They raise their kids to 16 and 17. Those kids are without guide. They have no answers. Those kids at 16 and 17 blow their brains out or fry their brains out because they have no hope. What's wrong with these people that have master's and doctoral degrees and still are nothing but seedy, flea-bitten wastes of time? I tell you what it is. They lack knowledge. Just like my old truck, I tried everything. I was ready to shoot it. I was going to try that next. All that was wrong was it wasn't in park, but I didn't know. I should have known, but I didn't know. These folks know they have masters, they have doctorates, they have money, they have stuff, they have material, they have happiness, they have a place to vacation twice, three times a year. They go to Vegas multiple times a year, and they're still not happy. Why? They have no knowledge of the holy. It says there in this verse, chapter 9, verse 10, it says, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You don't know anything if you don't know the knowledge of the holy. If you don't have an understanding of what is holy, if you don't have a knowledge of what is holy, you don't understand anything. If you don't understand that your marriage relationship is sanctified and hallowed in the sight of God, you don't know anything. If you don't know right from wrong, I mean black from white, I mean right versus wrong, evil versus righteousness, you don't know anything, and all the answers you think you have are not answers at all. Because the knowledge of the holy is understanding. A 79 Ford truck doesn't start unless it's in park. And unless you have a knowledge of the holy, I don't care what your designs are. I don't care what else you know. I don't care about your degrees. I don't care about your education. You don't know anything. And the reason the Word of God is not plain to you is because you have an understanding problem. Maybe you're not saved, one. Maybe you've not been serious about the Word of God and believed it, too. But there's also the issue of you have no knowledge of the holy. If you don't have a knowledge of the holy, you won't understand. And they won't be plain. The Bible will always confound and confuse you because you've not learned what is holy. There's something else here. Look in Job 28 again. Back to Job 28. They are all plain to him that understandeth. So if they're not plain, chances are pretty good you have an understanding problem. All right, Job 28, notice verse 28. Job 28, 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Again, that part we know. And to depart from evil is understanding. To depart from evil is understanding. A knowledge of the holy is understanding, but to depart from evil is understanding. Again, I hearken back to my college years. I'm talking about college here. First 3 years in college where I was just wandering through and just miserable to the bone, had no answers, had no direction. And I was saved. I've been saved since I was 10 years old. And fact is, you know, I still held to some of those beliefs and still held to some of those standards. But I would, and I had a Bible. I'd go to the Bible. I had a friend in college that kind of tried to reach me and help me. His name was Mike Maciel. He realized I was saved and was just kind of floundering and wandering around. But they all laughed at him, and I didn't really want to be like him. So I kind of ignored Mike. And I would take my Bible and go and try to find passages that dealt with the problem that I had, the questions that I had, the philosophical issues that I had. And I would read the very passages that dealt with those things, and the light never went off. I just didn't get it. I am now convinced in retrospect that I know why I didn't get it. I was saved. I did know I was saved. I did have a Bible. I grew up in a decent church and Sunday school. But I did not want to deal with my sin. I would read that passage of that in my Bible, and no lights. I just could not understand. I just could not get it. I did not want to deal with my sin. You know, Brother Keck preached on that issue of repentance, I think last Sunday, unless I'm mistaken, where you can pray prayers, you can be reared in Sunday school, you can know stuff, but unless you're willing to deal with sin on repentant grounds, there's some things that just don't take. I mean, you put the key in the starter and nothing happens because you're not dealing with your sin. Departing from evil. Departing from evil. It is one thing to know things. It's one thing to know answers. It's one thing to know doctrine. It is quite another thing to depart from evil. It is quite another thing to deal with your sin. Not all sins are pornographic. Not all sins have to do with fraud or thievery. Some sins have to do with laziness. Some sins have to do with ambition. Some sins have to do with slothfulness. Some sins have to do with a lack of prudence. Some sins are just very subtle things, and you don't want to deal with it. And since you won't deal with it, God doesn't give you understanding, so the Bible's not plain, and you walk in darkness, and you stumble like a lost man. You know, that's the problem with the world we live in, is we talked this morning in Sunday school about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes that dwells in this world. Problem is, there are sins that you feel a certain affection for. And those things cling to you. And if you don't desire, if you don't come to a point where you desire to put those things away, you're going to have a hard time understanding the plain precepts of the Bible. It's just that way. There are things that you're going to have to pray over for a long time, probably before you get answers to and understand fully. That much I will grant. But I also grant this. I have counseled people that said they were on a quest for understanding. They wanted so bad to have an answer for this issue. Why is this going on? Why can't I get past this? Why? And what I've found sometimes with those folks, and I've found it in myself as well, sometimes you don't understand why something's going on because you won't depart from evil. You won't deal with your sin. If you're not going to deal with your sin, maybe God's not talking to you. Look, they are all plain to him that understandeth. Right? Well, if I have an understanding problem, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth me understanding. To the knowledge of the holy is understanding, and departing from evil is understanding. My understanding problem is probably my problem. I have found that, you know, when you're going 65 and a 25, and the cop stops you and says, "Sir, do you know how fast you were going?" You're going 65 and a 20. "Oh, I didn't know it was a 25. Is he going to buy it?" Probably not. How many times have you heard somebody say, "Well, I just don't understand"? Sometimes you don't understand because you don't want to understand. And that's the reason the Word of God's not plain to you. You don't want to understand. You don't want to deal with your sin. You don't want to be corrected. You don't want to make changes. And so you just don't deal with it. And so the Word of God remains obtuse and obscure to you. Notice something else here along this line. Job 28:20. I've got to put a couple of thoughts together here to get to this one. Notice Job 28. 28, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Now notice, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Notice also Proverbs 9 again. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. I hold that there's a difference between wisdom and understanding. We know the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Look in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That much is true. Then I took note, I turned a page back, and I find in Proverbs chapter 8, it's wisdom is talking. Verse 1, doth not wisdom cry? And then it says, for my mouth shall speak of truth. Verse 7, wisdom is talking. But then by the time you get down to verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Wisdom is talking. Then verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Now, I don't know how they have all the answers there, but I do believe there's a difference between understanding and wisdom. But what I'm putting together here is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I cannot separate the fact that to get understanding, you need to fear God. Like I said, folks, all too often, you know, I believe that folks use, I didn't know, I didn't understand, as nothing but camouflage. I believe sometimes folks that know better say, well, I didn't know that, or I didn't understand that. And it's like a ghillie suit. Maybe you ladies don't know what a ghillie suit is. A ghillie suit is something that a sniper wears. He looks like a Sasquatch in his ghillie suit because it's just this grassy blob. And the idea is you can get out in the middle of a field, and if you're skilled at it, you can crawl across the middle of a field if you're slow enough and you're careful enough and know what you're doing, and nobody even recognizes you're there because you're camouflaged. And sometimes somebody's saying, well, I didn't know or I didn't understand. It's nothing more than that itself. Sometimes you don't want to understand. All right? My point in saying all that, folks, is that you can... I've known folks that have tried and wrestled with issues. They have wrestled with the idea of adultery and wrestled with the question of what if you love him or what if you love her or drinking or any other number of things you can name. And it's not just licentious sins either. And you can philosophize and rhetoricize your way through those things and try to deal with it philosophically. The bottom line is, if you were scared of God, you'd quit. Right? Look, they are all plain to him that understandeth. Okay? If understanding is related to the fear of God, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do more important than fearing God to the point of saying, I want to quit or I want to start because I'm scared God will get me if I don't. Say, oh, there ought to be higher motives than that. There are. There's always love. You ought to love Jesus Christ enough to do anything He wants you to do. But there's going to come a point in your life somewhere where if you're not afraid of God, you're going to do it anyway. If you're not afraid that God's going to get you or judge you, you either will do it or you won't do it. That's not the worst motive in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes men don't understand because they don't fear God. There's this as well. Look in Psalm 111. Look, the words of God are all plain to him that understandeth. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. The knowledge of the Holy is understanding. Departing from evil is understanding. The fear of God is related to understanding. Sometimes the word isn't plain because you don't understand. You don't need to change the Bible. You don't need a better commentator. You need to put your understanding under the microscope. Now there's this. Look in Psalm 111 and go down to verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There it is again. But notice, a good understanding have all they, that do His commandments, His praise endureth forever. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. If you have a good understanding, I got news for you, the words of God are plain to you. Right? They are all plain to him that understandeth. Well, a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. How about doing? We all can quote James and say, we're not supposed to be just hearers of the word, but doers as well. Correct? That much is plain. Look in John 7 real quick. John 7. It's a fine promise. John 7, 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. I am taught there that if I will live the doctrine that I teach, I will know whether it's right or wrong. Right? Okay, now think about that. Just do it. There's a great gap between believing or acknowledging and doing. Let me tell you this. You take a 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old boy, or for that matter, girl here, still too young to drive. They have ridden to church, to grandma's, to the cabin, to some vacation spot, year after year after year with mom and dad, right? They know the way until you hand them the keys and say, drive there, which you wouldn't do when they're 14. I understand that. But I've sometimes seen kids do that where they've been to church 6 jillion times with mom and dad, but the day comes that they're expected to drive there and they don't know how to get there. Why? Because they were riding with somebody else. Until you do it, you don't know it. Until you do it, you don't understand. Sometimes I wind up in a town somewhere where I'm preaching and I get driven around, and then the preacher says, I got to go do something. I'm going to give you my car. Go on back to the motel or whatever. And the motel? We just came from the motel. Yeah, but I wasn't paying attention because I wasn't driving. How many times, would you have gotten lost if it weren't you driving, if you'd just been taken to a strange city, given the keys to a car, and told to go back to the motel? Well, you didn't drive it, so you didn't know it. Got news for you. There's something to be said for doing. By doing, you will understand better than if you don't do. Look, you are not qualified to critique how our men conduct themselves street preaching if you've never been. You don't know what you're talking about. If you've never knocked a door and talked to somebody cold turkey on the front steps about Jesus Christ, you have no understanding. You are not qualified to talk. My point, the words of God are all plain to him that understandeth. Well, part of understanding, a good understanding, have all they that do his commandments. Inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Departing from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord is involved with understanding. Doing. By doing, you have a good understanding. Look in Psalm 119. Almost done here. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 99. I would say if the Word of God is not plain to you, the issue is not the Word of God. The issue is your understanding. And there is a mystical element to understanding in that the inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. But there are also a lot of things that aren't mystical about it at all. It has to do with your attitude and how you deal with things. Look in Psalm 119, 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Can I ask you a question? How much time do you actually spend rolling the words of God around in your head and in your heart? If you have some issue that you're wrestling with, how much time do you actually spend with that scripture verse or verses rattling through your consciousness where you're thinking about them, rolling them around on your tongue, tasting them, and seeing if you can work your way in and get light from them? I would say this. We live in a busy day and age that steals all your time and all your energy. If you're not careful, you've got the stinking earbuds in all day long, or the car radio on all day long, or you're running your yap with somebody who's running their yap back at you all day long. If you're not careful, you'll spend the entire day thinking about nothing but stuff here. And one reason the Word of God is not plain to you is because you don't understand, and you don't understand because you do not take any time to take the effort to meditate on the Word of God and think about it and roll it around in your mind for an entire day. It's amazing to me sometimes, like this morning, I was reading Proverbs 8 on June 8th, and how many times I had seen this passage about they are all plain to him that understandeth. I don't have any clue. For some reason, that sentence stuck in my mind, and by midday, I already had the sermon together. I mean, I like stuff when that happens that way. It just goes to show me the treasure of the Word of God, folks. One reason the Word of God is not plain to you is you don't understand. You don't understand because you don't think about it very much. You're busy thinking about money and answering the phone and what the guy's singing in your ear and who's on doing this and who's doing that. If you're not careful, you'll spend all day long in this day that men run to and fro like rats. You'll spend all day long thinking about nothing but junk down here instead of something far higher, far nobler, and far grander. And sometimes that's why you don't understand. One last thing, and I'm done. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Go down to verse 32. Proverbs 15, 32. The words of God are all plain to him that understandeth. Verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. They are all plain to him that understandeth. If the Bible is not plain to you, you don't have a Bible problem. You have an understanding problem. And the last thing I'm going to talk about here for just a moment before we go, he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. I'll ask you this, how reprovable are you? I should ask me, how reprovable am I? If you think that I have something that I need to be reproved of, I'll be happy to give you an audience. If you think, Brother Stevens, you know, I've noticed this about you, and I'd like for you to pray about this, I will. And I appreciate your concern. Because my concern is that so often, my job is to stand here, my calling is to stand here and reprove saints and sinners. And if I read this verse right, it is necessary for you to be reproved to get understanding. A reproof deals with something you're not doing right. It deals with something you're not, or that you're doing wrong. Look, if you're not born again, you need to be reproved, because except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Right? How reprovable. Maybe you don't have a Bible problem. Maybe you have an understanding problem. And maybe your understanding problem is that you will not listen to certain things when certain subjects come up. I have preached to men and women in the past through these 25 years who are fine Christians. They are fine Bible believers. They love God. They win souls. They generally do right. But they have a problem. And once you come up to a certain juncture in preaching, you can see them starting to shut down because they are not interested in listening. They are irreprovable on this matter. They will not hear, they will not do anything, and that is a really bad character trait to have. Because I promise you this, you're going to spend the rest of your life with God reproving you. Every time you open the Word of God, God's got something critical to say about you, in spite of what the charismatics say. God has plenty critical to say about you. Are you reprovable? I mean, the Bible says here, it says, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The words of God are all plain to him that understandeth. Look, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. You don't need yours. You need his. Told you before. Played high school football in Texas. Big deal in Texas. Football in Texas is a big deal. High school football. And it takes only one lapse for an entire game to go downhill. If 11 men are not fully understanding and executing their assignments, somebody's going to get killed. My point is, if you think that doesn't happen in life, you're being silly. Okay? Because it does happen in life. And when folks do not have an understanding, the Word of God is not plain. If the Word of God is not plain, you do not know what to do. It is a mystery to you. It is obscure to you. You are obtuse, and you're not going to get the right answer. You can't go duck hunting in the dark with a shotgun just shooting the shotgun up in the air. You're not going to hit a duck, okay? And you're not going to, by trial and error, get it right in life. You have to go forward on precept. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we've digged pretty deep here this morning, Lord, taking myself apart in the midst of taking everybody else apart probably. Father, we pray this morning that you'd help us. We recognize certain traits in ourselves, Lord, that are not only unfortunate, but they're sin. We build walls. We have chambers and anti-chambers that we stuff stuff away in hopes that we won't have to deal with it, in hopes that you won't put your finger on it and force us to deal with it. Pray here this morning, Lord, as we reflect on our love for the Bible, that the Word of God is plain to all of them that understand. And Lord, I pray you'd help us in these matters of understanding. These are exceedingly personal things, and only each individual person can deal with them. Father, we pray you'd help now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 179. 179. Holy Bible, Book Divine, we've sung it over and over again. Is it plain to you? Where it deals with your character, is it plain to you? appreciate y'all being here this morning. We look forward to the picnic this afternoon. Hopefully everybody came prepared for it. If you didn't, I'm sure there'll probably be enough food for you to come. So no problem with that. I may have to hang around here for just a little while. So guys, we're in that first pavilion, the main pavilion there, if any of you get there before me. And there is charcoal in the back of my Cherokee. Maybe you guys should get out of there and take on up there. I may be one of the last ones getting there today. So I think Teresa said that there are two tables in the back of their truck. So I don't know that we need to take more tables up there. Just so you guys know, they're going to take two. So I don't think we have to load up more tables. But look forward to seeing you guys there. Look forward to eating with you and fellowshipping with you in that order. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we appreciate fellowship here this morning. I appreciate the sharpness of the Word of God. We also appreciate its mystery, Father, the fact that it's alive and that you still show us things out of it. I ask you here this morning, Lord, that you'll bless the afternoon. We look not only for a good time in fellowship, but also a spiritual time of companionship one with another and with thee. Pray that you would bless our time up there, grant us safety in going and in being there, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.